Praise be to God. We survived another week to have this opportunity to not only gather ourselves together, but to make sure that we are preparing ourselves for the eventual return of our great Lord and Master. God has blessed us in so many ways that it can't even be counted all the ways in which he has blessed our lives. God is truly wonderful. this morning, I want to talk about the wrath of God. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. Now, oftentimes, those of us in church spend a great deal of our time focusing on the fact that God is a God of love. We have a great deal of interest in the grace and care and concern that God shows us, and so we should. Our God is truly wonderful. But sometimes we forget that we were made in his image. And as such, we experience those same things that he does sometimes, such as anger. His anger isn't given to outbursts of passion. His righteous anger rests in an opposition to sin. All sin stands in direct opposition, contradiction to everything that God stands for. And more than that, sin throws our lives into chaos. It is disruptive, and ultimately the end result is destruction. And for this reason, God has appointed a day in which he will eliminate all sin and at the same time reject and punish those who have chosen to embrace sin. But the resolve behind his wrath cannot be filled with empty threats. Any parent with kids over 5 can tell you that if you threaten a child and don't do what you said you was going to do, then they will end up walking all over you. And that also applies if the threat is no real threat at all. If all you tell a kid to do is stand in the corner and they're bent on doing whatever they want to do, then them standing in the corner ain't going to do anything for them. Sometimes you need something a little bit stronger than just words. So at the end of chapter 1, Paul takes time to go into the details of what God, what moves God to anger. So, Romans chapter 1, verse 18, and it reads, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like incorruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanliness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshiped the served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is like what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitted, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. In verse number 16, Paul talked about the gospel being the power of God unto salvation. And in the following verses, or I should say not in the following verses, in the following chapters, he is going to expound on that. But before he does, he wants to spend a little bit of time talking about why that salvation is even necessary in the first place. Paul tells us in verse number 17 that the righteousness of God is revealed from heaven. And now here in verse 18, he is saying that the wrath of God is also revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness of men. Although he says all unrighteousness, Paul points out a few things that causes God's wrath to be revealed. Suppressing, number one, suppressing the truth. Number two, idolatry, or as he says it, worshiping the creature rather than the Creator. And number three, being burned in lust. Now we say, that the first one in verse number 18, the King James Version finishes this verse off by simply saying, against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. That's how King James Version puts it. But most other translations are a little bit closer to the original meaning when they say those who suppress the truth. Because that's what it means. That's what the word that's used there for holding the truth means. Is to hold something back, to restrain or hinder. And that's appropriate because one of the things that follows sin is shame. Back in the Garden of Eden, one of the first things that Adam and Eve did was to hide themselves. Why? Because they knew that they had sinned. And they were afraid when they heard the voice of God. And look at Cain. When God comes and asks him where his brother is, he lies and says, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? It's not just them. But all mankind attempts to suppress the truth in unrighteousness. In this day and age, some people would rather suppress the truth than have you find it out. So fortunately, our government actually regulates truth in advertising. In some countries that don't have these type of laws, people end up getting all kinds of products that they didn't really intend on getting. A businessman can't come and sell spring water knowing that he got it from tap water. You know, there has to be truth in advertising. Now, they may not tell you everything, but what they do tell you has to be true. And that is necessary because it's in human nature to try and cover up things that we are not proud of. We try to cover up things that we know that we have done wrong. And even our government tried to cover up the fact that they were torturing people. They didn't want to consider waterboarding as torture, but because they already knew that it was wrong for them to be doing. And when that all came out, we're out there torturing people. Well, there's a lot of things that people attempt to cover up. For thousands of years, people have attempted to suppress the truth of God's word in one form or fashion. It's kind of obvious when it comes to atheists. They don't want to have anything to do with God, so you know they're more than happy to try and shoot down anything that even points to God. They want to try and change our national anthem. They want to change the money. They want to prevent you from praying in church. And every single thing they do, they seem to create these organizations just to fight against religion. And so there are those who just want the Bible removed from any form of public life. But even today, we suppress the truth from schools. We remove public prayer and public talk about God. Courthouses that used to display the Ten Commandments have to take them down now because of lawsuits against them. It seems that they're just doing what's necessary to appease the people who are not comfortable with anything involving God. Even we, who say we believe, suppress the truth when we care more about not offending the people out there in the world with God's word than we do about saving their souls. We suppress the truth when our hearts are set on us being the one who sets the rules. When we are the ones who are set on just doing our own thing, even in the temporary ways, we find that we are constantly trying to do just what makes us happy instead of what makes God happy. When we care more about what we want than what God wants. And that's what he is talking about with idolatry. See, with idolatry, we hide the truth of who God really is by worshiping something else. He says in verse 19, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. He said that they are without excuse. Nobody can come up with any kind of explanation to God about why they are not believing that he exists. Nobody can say that they just didn't know that God was real. Nature itself declares his glory. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 26 says, lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things. Who brings out their host by number? He calls them by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one is missing. David said in Psalms 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. You know, in Job Corps, where I met my lovely wife, I was trained in electronics assembly. And it was something I love working with electronics. I love putting stuff together and taking things apart. Part of the course I took was electronics assembly and electronics robotics. I loved it so much that I also built computers in my spare time. Now, before I became a preacher, being a technician was one of the greatest jobs that I had ever had. I mean, I've had a lot of jobs, but that one was one of the great jobs that I had. Because, like I said, I got a chance to do something that came naturally for me. And in all the jobs that I've had, in that job, working as a technician, and in all the times that I put computers together and fixed things for people, I had never, ever seen a complex electronic system spontaneously come together on its own. Just, it's never happened. Even if we have gotten to the point where machines and robots could replicate themselves and even create new types of electronics on their own, it would still have been necessary for some engineer to design it to do that. Yet, there are people in this world, people who are very smart, people by the world standards who are in some cases considered geniuses, people with PhDs that will try to tell you that the entire universe is, which is bound by unchangeable laws, laws like the law of attraction, polarity, rhythm, relativity, cause and effect, perpetual transmutation of energy, that all this vast amount of organization that we even see in all types of life, that all of this was brought about by a random explosion that nobody can fully explain. It's the idea that organization, vast amounts of organization, come about by chaos. And it's to me, it is a ridiculous thought. People can come up with all the theories they want, but you can't deny what's right here in front of your face. That if even if you want to hold on to the Big Bang, somebody had to initiate that. Somebody had to put the rules in place for the eternal laws of the universe to be laws. Something had to make sure that that sun stands there in the sky every single day for the last couple thousand years. Somebody had to make it so that the gravity is consistent and is always here. All of these things didn't just come about on their own. Okay? But it's necessary for us to realize that God's invisible attributes are seen all around us. But if I suppress the truth of his word and deny that God even exists, then then I can live any way that I want to. If I say I don't acknowledge God, and for me, that comes to a point where then I can say, hey, you know, my life is mine to live. You know, I can make whatever mistakes I want. I can do whatever I want to, and I don't have to answer to anybody. But some people don't realize that your life is still being controlled. Whether you want to or not, you are still having to live by a standard. I mean, you can go around trying to do whatever you want to, but a lot of people who try to do that are in jail or have met, you know, with the execution policy of a lot of states. Paul goes on to say in verse 21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Here in verse 23, Paul is talking about idolatry, but it still applies to anyone who tries to suppress the truth about God. See, idolatry isn't just limited to statues. See, I mean, we in the first century, before the first century, there were all these people who wanted to have some visible representation of God. So they decided to turn that into a statue or golden calf or whatever they decided to put it into. But see, the thing is, idolatry isn't just limited to those things that they had back then. I mean, these days, even your phone can be an idol to you. You know, we have a tendency of reducing God's glory to anything and everything. Sometimes, and for us, for some people, it's money. For some people, it's their house or their car. Even science can and has become a god to some people. And so we find these things, I shouldn't say a god, but an idol. Something that stands in the way between us and God. Just look at a person's life. Look at their social media platforms. Listen to what they talk about all the time. And you will see what their true focus is in life. But when something else becomes more important than God, you have to understand, he will respect your wishes. Verse 24 says, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. God gave us all the ability to choose. And if you choose to care more about the things of this world and chasing after things that you want more than simply giving God that glory and honor that he deserves, then he will let you go. God isn't going to lock you in a basement and until you worship him. Right now, scripture tells us that God rains blessings on the just and the unjust. We all benefit from the good that he's doing in this world right now. But there is coming a day when he will only be blessing those who have a relationship with him. Every person on this planet is free to make whatever choice they want on how to live their lives. But as the old saying goes, once you make your bed, now you have to live in it. You have to sleep in it. And you have to accept the end result. It's clear that God wants all people to do his will, but at the same time, he will let you do whatever you want right now. That's why Paul says in verse number 26, for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use of what is against nature, likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of woman, burning their lust one for another, men with men, committing that is what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. Now, he starts to get into homosexuality. But keep in mind here, Paul was writing this letter in the city of Corinth. Okay? And in the city of Corinth, there is a temple of Aphrodite. Now, in case you don't know, the temple of Aphrodite was a place where they had temple prostitutes, where men go there and they're supposedly worship of Aphrodite, and they go sleep with the prostitutes in there. And not only was that stuff happening, but there was also homosexuality happening. There was a whole lot of sexual sins taking place in the city of Corinth. And I mean, even in the book of Corinthians, you can see some of the stuff that Paul writes about. And so it's necessary for him to bring these things up because it's necessary for us to realize and understand that God wants us to have pure lives. Not going out there doing anything and everything that the flesh wants to do. God created man and woman for the purpose of procreation. And here it is, he's sitting here talking about homosexuality. You know, now homosexuality is one of those sexual sins, but God is the one that sets how our relationships should go. He is the one who wants to make sure that things go in a certain way. And like I said before, he's not going to stop. He's not stopping people. I mean, you don't see him raining fire down on America or any other country that's participating in these things right now. But understand and realize there does come a day when things come due. See, the thing is, when we suppress the truth and reject God, all you have left is those vile passions that Paul talks about, those things that drive us. You know, we spent, you know, at this point, it really doesn't matter if you're straight, gay, or something in between. When we have rejected God's way of life, we are setting ourselves up to receive the penalty that is due for fornication, for adultery, and for homosexuality. Sin is sin. Paul calls homosexuality as exchanging the natural for the unnatural. But no matter what sin you're talking about, all of it separates us from God. Society today wants people to respect their choices, but the choices that they're making are rooted in lust. it boggles the mind how culture sometimes has come to accept certain sexual sins. More people these days are having casual sex partners with no commitment. More and more people seem to be accepting multiple people in their relationships. There's even a TV show on Sister Wives that they had, where these girls who are sisters are marrying some dude. For some reason, believers want to put extra focus on the sin of homosexuality and all this talk about gender fluidity. But what about being outraged about the amount of marriages that are failing in this country? What about being outraged over a generation that is growing up over sexualized, being over sexualized, like by porn and entertainers that are wearing less and less clothes? The world is slowly but surely going the way of the world and is focused only on what can please the flesh. That's why Paul says in verse number 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do the things which are not fitting. Paul goes into a list of all the things we involve ourselves in when we reject God and the knowledge of his word. I'm not going to read through these, but all of these represent a great amount of things that we involve ourselves in that put us in a case of unrighteousness. When people individually and collectively turn their back on God, he will turn his back on them. What we as the church of God needs to do is stop talking about political issues, stop judging people for their issues, and get off of our butts and get God's word out there, and not just by words, but also by deed. Amen. By living according to his word, then it will become more and more of a common thing. If we as God's people make a stand on what God stands for, maybe this world can slow down on all the sinfulness that they are constantly involving themselves in. Because if we don't get out there, how will they know? They will continue to live in sin. Paul says in verse number 32, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. The wages of sin is death, and not the death of laying in a casket, but the second death, which is the end result of God's wrath. Paul said, they practice sin and approve of those who practice it. That doesn't mean we should turn away from them. It means we should be praying for them like Jesus did. When he was on the cross, he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There's a lot of people in this world that are just following the impulses that are going on inside them. The thing is, we have to help them to understand that we need to live a different way. I don't really think it's too much for us as people of God to show a little concern for people in this world, to make sure that they don't personally see the end result of God's wrath. But what about you? What about you? Are you striving to live according to God's word? Are you concerned about experiencing the wrath of God? Sometimes we as children of God can get so comfortable in what we're doing that we begin to realize, that, oh, we have God, you know, we have Jesus on our side, so we can always get forgiveness. But realize and understand, once you start going down that path, then you start making a habit out of sin. And it starts to be something that begins to take a prominent place in your life. It's necessary for us to always make sure that we are ready for the return of Jesus. We don't know when that time is coming. And we don't want to experience God's wrath. Imagine you spend 25 or 30 years of your life serving God and you start getting too comfortable and start doing things you know you have no business doing. And then all of a sudden you get caught unaware when Jesus comes back. And as he said before in the scripture, there is no excuse. He said that about the people in the world. What more is he going to say about us? Remember, judgment starts first in his house. This morning, We don't want to experience God's wrath. Let us be those who cling to his word and live according to it. Let us do what we have to help people in the world. Whatever your needs are this morning, your spiritual needs are, let them be known. As together we stand and sing God's patience.
When we walk.